Yeah, I see some of you posting on Facebook and your happy place. And it's got me to thinking, where's my happy place? Where's my happy place in some beautiful flower gardens, beautiful beaches, beautiful sunsets, wherever, back on the back 40, maybe looking down over at the curve. I don't know, but just I hear my happy place. And just to be honest, I wondered where my happy place is, but one of my happy places is the front porch of our house. We have a porch swing out there, and we have some chairs, and we have some concrete that's cracked, and we have some broken down this and some broken down that, but it's my happy place. I like to go out on the front porch. I like to interact with my neighbors. I like it when my neighbor yells across the street at me. I like to see the people going by. I like to see the different dogs. I like to see the people talk into us as they go by. I like to see the young buck from across the street make his way over and have conversation about life and about what God, what he's doing in life and what maybe he thinks he needs in life. And it's just, I find myself in a very happy place on the front porch. And sometimes I'm just sitting there doing nothing. And as I can remember back in a teenager, I heard somebody say, sometimes I sits and thinks, and sometimes I just sit. And that's what it is, right? Sometimes I sit and think, and sometimes I just sit. And I can just sit on our porch. Last Sunday, as we were sitting, last Sunday evening, Cheryl and I made our way to my happy place, out on the porch, and then we needed to do some work for Mahaffey. We have, just to be honest, there's going to be 600 gallons of ice cream used in the next few days. So there were some calculations that need to be done. There's some ordering that needed to be tuned up. There's different things that needed to be happening. And I said, let's go out on the porch and do that. So we were out on the porch, and Cheryl was sitting, and I was in the swing, and back and forth. And of course, the neighbors were talking, and the neighbors were yelling across the street at us. And the young buck come across the street again, and people were walking by, and we were doing business there on the porch, back and forth, and talking with them, and then doing some business. And then every once in a while, our phone would beep, and we'd check our phone. But one thing I don't want is to go out on my happy place and be on my phone. You know, because then I miss all the scene. I miss all the scenery. But every once in a while, our phone would beep, and we would check our phone and then put our phone back down. And just having a kind of a cool evening out there. And all of a sudden, Cheryl picked up her phone, and whether it had beeped or she was just checking something. And she started to read this to me. And some of you like this or even said, I need this. And she was reading this to me. And I'm going to read portions of this to you today, maybe the whole post. And this is what it said. And the highlight was, Mamas. And some of you read it. I'm sure that, I know some of you liked it. I know that some of you had commented on this post. But this is what it said. Don't feel sorry for or fear for your children, because the world they are going to grow up in is not what it used to be. And then he goes on to say this, God created them and called them for the exact moment in time that they are in. And then he went on to say, and he's talking about their life is not a coincidence or an accident. Raise them up to know the power they walk in as children of God. Train them in the authority of His Word. Teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is in control. Empower them to know that they can change the world. Don't teach them to be fearful and disheartened by the state of the world, but hopeful that they can do something about it. Every person in history has been placed in a time that they were in because God's sovereign plan. He knew Daniel could handle the lion's den. He knew David could handle Goliath. He knew Esther could handle Haman. He knew that Peter could handle persecution. He knows that your child can handle whatever challenge they face in their life. He created them for this specific time in history. Don't be scared for your children. But be honored that God chose you to parent the generation that is facing the biggest challenges of our lifetime. Rise up to the challenge. Raise Daniels. raise David's, raise Esther's, raise Peter's. God isn't scratching his head wondering what he's going to do with a mess of this world. He has an army. He's training up to drive back the darkness and make him known all over the earth. Don't let this fear steal the greatness God has placed in them. I know it's hard. Imagine that anything beside. I know it's hard to imagine them as anything beside our sweet babies. And we just want to protect them from anything that could bring them harm. But they were born for such a time as this. Written by a youth pastor in Arkansas. And as Cheryl got done reading that, the inspiration started to come for a God, how do I help that? How do I help that? How do I help that be a reality? Because our children were born for such a time as this. And they were born into your family. They were born as you. You are the mom and the dad and the pap and the grand and the aunt and the uncle. You are the new lifers that are in the lives of our children in this room and in new life every single week. We are the ones who get the privilege of helping this generation be the Daniels, to helping the young generations be the Davids, to helping the young generation to be the next Esthers, to helping the young generations to be the next Peter and the Matthew and the Marks and the Johns. It's our privilege. It's your privilege, Mom and Dad. And as Cheryl got done reading that, she said this, maybe that's part of what the meaning of let's raise a hallelujah. And we continue to talk about the challenges that you're facing, the challenges that our neighborhood is facing, the challenges that Walnut Street is facing, the challenges of the little kids in our block, the challenges I see in my neighborhood, the challenges I see of these kids running around and not knowing where to go in life, the challenges of being a mom and a dad or a pap or a gram in today's society. It's challenging to do that. And many of you are doing that and you're giving it your all. And you're striving forward and you're winning day after day. And some days you don't know if you're winning. And some days you look at the world and you don't know, maybe the world's winning. And sometimes you grit your teeth and sometimes you just want to throw in the towel because you don't know if you're getting it done. You don't know if you have the wherewithal to get it done. You do have the wherewithal, because not only did God choose your children to be born today, he chose you to be their parents today. We need to rise up, not only as moms and dads, but you need to realize that we got your backs, and we got your flanks, and we got your front, and we're going to run ramrod for you, because it's your turn to raise the next history changers. We need to raise our children because God has placed them in this moment of all of history. He chose them for today. He chose the Silases and he chose the little Ryans and he chose the Arianas and he's chosen the Brindleys and he's chosen the Pearls and he's chosen the Ezekiels and he's chosen the Trinities and he's chosen the kids in this world, in this room, to be the next mountain movers. So I want to give you some help this morning. And this doesn't come from a guy who just read a book about parenting. This comes from a guy who got parenting right sometimes and very wrong sometimes. I spent the first year or two after coming to Christ on my knees on a regular basis. God, help, take away what I've broken my children. Take it away from them. What I've dropped the ball, take it away from them. God, heal them from the inside out. Because I dropped the ball so much. And I cried out to God. And I think God did that. I remember things in their childhood that they don't seem to remember. I remember my rage going off. I remember that going off. And I remember throwing furniture across the living room. I remember sticking a desk in a wall on the other side of the living room. I remember them being scared of me when I would come in the house because I was furious and my rage was strong. and I remember what God did. I didn't read this in a book. I lived parenting. And I watch you parents, you young parents. And I watch the struggle of trying to make your way in this world, or trying to run a business, or trying to be a professional, or trying to be a worker, trying to find your own space at some time, because your life, your upbringing wasn't all that great either. And now you're trying to bring up someone else. And I want to speak something into your life, and it does, it makes very logical sense to me. And it sounds just from this moment on, it sounds just like a sermon, but it's not a sermon. It's a recipe to raise the next Esthers, and to raise the next Daniels, and to raise the next Peters, and to raise the generation of children who will love God and do whatever God says. The next Barnabases that will come up along the broken of our world and love them no matter what. So let me take the next few moments and just give you, I got 5 P's and I put them in a P so I could remember them. Please don't think of this as a something taken from a book. But this is what our kids need, and this is my prayer for you. To raise our children, to help or cause to grow, to bring them to maturity. And we've talked about that before. I know the goal is not just to get our children taller. You can do that by feeding them hamburgers. We're not talking about just getting our kids to adulthood just so they can move out and do their own thing. We're not just talking about those getting our children bigger. We're talking about bringing our children to maturity. That they would know, that they would hear from God, and they would be able to decipher that it's God. And they're going to follow God because you're following God today. But someday they're not going to follow your God. They're going to need to follow their own God. But right now they're following your God because you're taking them, because they're in the car seats, because you locked them in a seat to get here. But someday, they're going to make a choice for themselves. And I think these 5 things that you do right now, when they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 15, 16, 17, are going to make a mountain of difference when it comes to them going out there. And listen, if you have a parent and your kids are out of the house already and you wish you did parenting better, hang on. Because I think these same principles can be your prayer for them. But this is what I think what we need to do. Proverbs 18:10 says this, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe." That's what I would start teaching our children. That's what we are teaching our children here at New Life, that the name of the Lord, and that name in the original language, that name says you can fill in anything that God is. The holiness of the Lord is a strong tower. The provision of the Lord is a strong tower. The love of the Lord is a strong tower. The forgiveness of the Lord is a strong tower. The empowerment of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it, and they are safe. And if you want to sing that like they do the old song, safe, safe, really, really safe. I think we can continue to teach our kids that point of their hearts toward God. That's the first thing I think we need to do and continually need to do. And I don't think some of this is new information. I'm just encouraging us that point their hearts toward God. To get them looking at God. Not just things on the refrigerator maybe, but talking points. Talking points that you can tell your child, even when they're a year and a half old and you're putting them to bed, you just say, "I just need you to know, young one, that God loves you." Just continue to feed into them and point their hearts toward God. Teach them that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, that the love and the power and the peace and the mercy and the grace and the wisdom and the holiness and the provision of God is a strong tower. The strong tower means an enemy defeating vantage point. It's going to put you where you can defeat the enemy. That's what it says. When I got my eyes on God, God's going to put me in a place where I can defeat the enemy. He's going to put me in a position where I can see what the enemy's doing. He's going to put me in a position where I can know what to do to defeat the enemy in my life. We need to point our children, their hearts toward God. Continuously point them toward God. And some of that is even here. You bring them here this morning. And you bring them here this morning, and it's not easy to get here in this morning. Some of you have had the time of your life just to get your kids in the van, just to get breakfast. Listen, I had to get up and get myself ready. I had to eat my own Cheerios. I had to tie my own shoes. Some of you have tied like 8 shoes, 10 shoes. Some of you have had to feed and clean up, not only feed Cheerios, but you had to clean up after the Cheerios. I know that some of you have, it's a challenge sometimes just to get here, but I do think that's part of what we point the hearts of our children toward God, that we're going purposely to see God this morning. We're purposely going to worship God this morning. We're doing this on purpose this morning. We're getting in this vehicle, and we're driving to join with other people to point our hearts toward God this morning. Tell your kids why you're coming here. Well, there are only two. Tell them anyway. I'll tell you what, the world doesn't mind telling them anything at two. Why should you care what the world... Why don't we take advantage of that? Why don't we start telling our kids why we're doing things? We do this. Why do we pray before meal? Because we're going to take a pause of this family. Right now, we're sitting around this table, and we're going to thank the Lord because He has put this on the table. It's not just something we say. It's not just something we do here because it's grace time. Tell them why you do that. Point their hearts toward God. Get their hearts pointed toward God. We know that in Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says this, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart." And then he talks about them being upon your heart. And it's going to be challenging to impress them on your children if they're not on your heart. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't teach what you're not. But then he says this, "Impress them on your children and talk about them when you sit at home. And when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up, and when you sit on the porch, and when you're on your way to the curb, and when you're sitting at supper, and when you're getting ready for school, write them a note. Tell them God loves them. Put it on their napkin. Put it in their lunch bucket." That's what it's saying. Write them on your refrigerators. Write them on the door frames of your home. Not just filling your home with religious stuff, but talking points that you can talk to your children and talk to our children about God and what He wants in their life. Talk about it. Point their hearts toward God. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. I think we need to tell, we need to continue to point our children's hearts toward God. Number two is this, Proverbs 18:21. "The tongue has power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit." Amen. The power of their spoken word. I think we need to start teaching our kids the power of their spoken word. Let me tell you, let me just see if I can explain what I mean by there, because I hear a lot of kids running up and down the streets. I hear a lot of kids that would tell other kids, "I hate you," or "I do this," or "I do that," or "you're worth nothing." I hear parents saying that to their children, and it just drives me crazy because I know that they're speaking death into their children, and their children are taking that, and they're speaking death into other children. I think we need to teach our children that your words are powerful, and I think we need to haul our sons aside. Sometimes it says, "You will not talk to your mother that way. You will not speak that into your mother's life. You will not say that to her. You will not call her that, because your words are powerful, son." "Well, she's my mom." "Yeah, I know she's your mom, and she's a child, a daughter of the Most High God, and you won't treat her that way." And we need to start teaching our children the power of their spoken word. And they can speak it in. And not only, we can say, "Well, you need to say sorry to your brother because you said that. I don't only want us to say sorry because we said something, but I want the brother to turn around and say, 'Oh, man, you're the most amazing brother. I love you so much.'" How easy it is to come out with, "You're a bum," or "You're an idiot," or "You're stupid," or "You're ugly," or "You're something else." Why is it so easy to speak those things out when it's so hard to speak, I love you. You're amazing, brother. Man, I don't know how I'm so lucky to get you as a mom. Abraham's coming forward. Woo, Spirit's got him. Do you think Abraham of the Bible ever run away from his dad once or twice? I have a feeling Abraham of the Bible was a stinker too. I just do. Aren't you glad for Abraham's mom and dad? Aren't you glad for Daniel's mom and dad? Aren't you? Who raised Daniel, for crying out loud, that they could ship him at 16, 17 years old into this hedonistic world? And he stood faithful for God. Who was his mom and his dad? Who did they pluck him out of the house of? Because he was a smart young man and he had great potential. And they took him here and they offered him everything that the world had to offer him. And he said no to that because his mama and his dad were praying and his church was praying. Because he had a foundation that helped him not be overcome by the world. We need to teach our kids the power of the spoken word. Our world is going off the hook with nasty talk. There's more nasty talk and more downgrading talk than I've ever heard in all of my life. And you could speak life into it, and I think we need to start teaching our kids there is power in your words, and you will use them, and we will use them in this family. We will use our words to build up each other around this table. Maybe you can sit there at dinner time and say, I want you to say something that you appreciate about your mom, about your dad. Can you say it right now? Because there'll be plenty of times to be angry with each other. We need to speak life into each other. Am I making sense today? Because the world will get the world, I'm telling you what, the world's going to get the attention of your children if you don't give it to God. If you don't point them toward God, the world will take it. And if we can't teach our children that their tongue has life and death in it, the world will take it and they'll use it to bring death into people's lives. Over and over and over and over again. We need to teach our children the power of their spoken word. Number three this morning. Proverbs 18:9 says this, one who slacks in his work is a brother to one who destroys. We need to teach our children to persist, be persistent in their task. Let me try to explain what I mean by that. I had work ethic. We need our children to have a work ethic, but it's not just a work ethic, because a work ethic can take you off the rail. Because a work ethic has the work ethic. Work, 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 work. But I want them to be persistent in their task, persistent in what they're doing, to carry it out all the way to the end. Because the one who's slack, the one who's not persistent in his work, is a brother to one who brings destruction. We need to know that they need to know that sweat equity is worth it. Don't be afraid to sweat. To finish the task, to be persistent in your task. Get it done! Give them the grit, the holy grit, to be able to finish the task. And I think that's even finishing the game at times. I've heard, in our family, I've heard even playing sorry. Oh, I'm done with that. No, we're going to finish the game because we're going to persist in our task. I think, I know how crazy it is? I think just finishing a puzzle. No, we're going to finish this puzzle. We're going to finish this game. No, you're going to sweep the floor all the way to the corners. We're going to persist in our task. You know what I think will happen? When you do that, when we do that, and we live that out in front of them, and they do that, and they can finish the puzzle, and they can finish the game, and they can finish mowing the lawn, and they can finish cleaning their room, and they can finish doing the dishes, guess what? I think they can finish being a parent at some time in their life. And they can finish being a dad sometime in their life, because it takes persistence to be a dad. And I think by building a puzzle, by mowing a lawn, I think we can teach our children to stick in there. Sweat equity matters. We're going to get to the end of this, no matter how hot it is, no matter how much of a challenge it is. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not giving up on this. And it starts with a puzzle, I think. And it starts with the dishes. And it starts with the mowing the lawn. And it starts with cleaning the room. And it starts with picking up the toys. When your kids are told to pick up their toys, I think they need to persist in their task. And listen, I don't have to get your kids and pick up their own toys, and I know that it's hard, but you're raising the next mom and the next dad and the next wife and the next husband who's going to persist in their task. They're going to persist in what they're doing in life. We're equipping our children. We're equipping our children to be the next adult church. And just so you know, I don't want to have the next adult church to throw in the towel if the temperature goes up a little bit. And I don't want the next moms and dads in this room to throw in the towel and become a deadbeat dad. Dads, I know. Some of you said, I don't even know what I'm doing. I know you don't. Stay with it. Teach your sons and your daughters to stay with it. Be persistent in their task. Number four, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. The generous or the compassionate, the one who values others, the people in their path. I think we need to teach our children that they are people in the path. They are people not in their way. We start seeing the people are in my way. Even the guy ahead of me last night trying to drive home from Mojave in the rain. He wasn't somebody in my path. He was somebody in my way. Get out of my way! Yahweh. I found myself even saying that under my breath. And God said, good, point number four, you need to hear it tomorrow. There are people at Walmart. Facebook has really taken the face off of our people-loving ability. Because we get so brave on Facebook. We're so degrading on Facebook. We're so opinionated on Facebook. Six-sevenths of what is said on Facebook, you would never say to someone to their face. We need to teach our children that there are people in their path. The entitlement attitude turns people into a tool for your own benefit. We have enough entitled people in our world. We need people that see people. People are not rungs on the ladder for you to climb. People are not a means to your end. People aren't just being used for your next paycheck. They're people. And God has put them in their path for a reason, and your path for a reason. Teach our children that there are people. And God brings people into our life for a reason. And the people ahead of us may drop their dozen eggs, not to screw with our day, but so that we can help them. Because there are people. We need to teach our children that there are people in their path. Number five, and let me finish with this today. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. Well, whoever takes the crooked path will be found out. Integrity, the quality of possessing and steadfastly adhering to a high moral principle. I think we need to purify their values. I think we need to help our kids purify their values. Does that make sense this morning? I've screamed myself a full-on headache up here, so... We have a generation of people that won't wear the wrong clothes, but will get in the back of a vehicle with someone else. We need to help our children set their standards. We need to help our children set their standards and set them high. We need to help our children know that God has standards and God has the best in mind for them and His standards are best. And I think we need to help our children be okay with having purified standards, purified values. I think we need to help our children set a high moral standard that they can live by. Not holier than thou. Somebody will say, oh, you're not coming. Oh, those Christian kids are holier than thou. Well, you can call them names if you want to, but if somebody has a high moral standard, don't try to tear them down because they're bringing the blessing of the Lord. Because I'm telling us one thing, the world doesn't care about your kids' moral standards. They'll take it and they'll exploit it and they'll use it and they'll sell them something. And they'll run them over the cliff and they don't give two hoots about it. So how do we get this? How do we get this parenting done? We point their hearts toward God. We need to teach our children the power of the spoken word. We need to persist, help them be persistent in their task. We need to help them see that there's people in their path. There's not just people in their way. And we need to help them purify their values, get a high set of values that they can live by that will build them. Look what it says again. It says the whoever's walks in integrity walks securely. Is that what we want our children to do, to walk securely? Then let's help them walk in integrity. Moms and dads, you're getting it done. Paps and grams, help new lifers. Let's be on our knees. Let's be on our knees for the moms and the dads that risk it every Sunday morning at least to bring their children here. If it was left up to some of us to bring these children here, we'd still be waiting at home. But these moms and dads got grit, and they got grit like you can't believe. And they're getting it done, and they're raising the generations of world changers right now. And I'm going to invest in them. And I'm going to invest in them, and I'm going to invest in them. And so can you. Because God has chosen us right now to be in their corners. And He's chosen them to be the parents. And He's chosen these kids for this moment in all of history. He chose them for now. Stand with me today. Father, thank you for porch time with Cheryl. Thank you for neighbors on Walnut Street. Thank you that it's a happy place for me. Thank you for the things that you've done in my heart there on that porch. Thank you for things that you've done in and through me on that porch. And Father, thank you for inspiring me last Sunday to say, you know what, speak into the parents' lives, help them. They're raising the generation of world changers and they need your help. They're getting it done. So Father, thank you for their words, and I just speak that. Parents, let's hear this. You're getting it done. Stop only worried about how you failed and start thinking about how you're going to succeed. The blessing on every parent in this room, God, a blessing on everyone that's raising the next generation of world changers. A blessing on everyone that's raising the next moms and the next dads and the next wives and the next husbands. A blessing on everyone that's raising the next adult church that's going to meet in this room. A blessing on those that will raise up the next preachers and the next prophets. Blessing on everyone that's raising up the next factory workers who's going to be faithful and persistent. The next business owners that are going to be persistent, but yet high values, are going to run their business. The next law enforcement officers that are being raised up here, that their standards will be set by you, God. The next nurses who will be moved by compassion because, God, their hearts have been pointed toward you and they can see the people in the path and not just the people in the way. The next doctors will be raised up in this room. The next engineers and the next Walmart managers. It's our turn to raise them, God. It's their turn to be that. Help us to give everything that they need and a blessing on them. Everything they need to accomplish what you have before them. You chose them. Help us equip them. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.